continue to draw from our cultural heritage regarding the Easter theme, this time in terms of Catholic writing, in a programme presented by Jill Bevilacqua.
Merton, who became a Trappist monk in the 1940s, wrote of the powerful impact of Easter after the bareness and fasting of Lent. As Monica Furlong comments, it was a kind of total experience that no one easily forgets, but which few people experience nowadays with such intensity.
Alleluia, ec dies confessit Dominus.
Alleluia.
Exultemus et laetemuri.
What a relief it was to hear the bells once more on Holy Saturday. What relief to wake up from the sleep of death with a triple Alleluia. Easter that year was as late as it could possibly be, and there were enough flowers to fill the church with the intoxicating smell of the Kentucky spring, a wild and rich and heady smell of flowers, sweet and full. We came from our light 5 hours sleep into a church that was full of warm night air and swimming in this rich luxury of odors. Soon began that Easter invitatory that is nothing short of gorgeous in its exultation. How mighty they are, those hymns and those antiphons of the Easter office. Gregorian chant that should by rights be monotonous, because it has absolutely none of the tricks of modern music, is full of a variety infinitely rich, because it's subtle and spiritual and deep. Those Easter Alleluias, without leaving the narrow range prescribed by the 8 Gregorian modes, have discovered color and warmth amid meaning and gladness that no other music possesses.
A gentle poem now from Alice Meynell, 19th century poet and essayist, who became a Catholic in 1870, married 7 years later, and had 8 children. She and her husband Wilfred led a busy professional literary life, editing, reviewing, and lecturing. They also discovered and protected the poet Francis Thompson. Here is Alice Meynell's Easter Night.
All night had shout of men and cry of woeful women filled his way, until that noon of somber sky on Friday, clamour and display smote him. No solitude had he, no silence, since Gethsemane. Public was death, but power, but might, but life again, but victory, were hushed within the dead of night, the shuttered dark, the secrecy, and all alone, 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 he rose again behind the stone.
Our next writer is poet Patrick Daly from the Republic of Ireland. An Augustinian priest, he's published poems in Irish and American magazines and Italian, and a collection of his poems appeared in 1978 with the title Nowhere But in Praise. The poem we present now is entitled Cyril of Alexandria, the Risen Christ. It's preceded by a quotation from St. Cyril's commentary on St. John's Gospel. His body brings forth in itself a principle capable of utterly destroying corruption.
It is a wintry night for April. The shrubs outside my house reflect the leaping candlelight. Trees send out tender shoots, dissolving at the tip into sky. A woman drinks in a doorway, her shawl wrapped closely about her, singing crazily to herself. I am hesitant still to give voice to my thoughts, for fear my words, like unfledged sparrows, fall, ambitious beyond their power. The seed we sow in the ground disturbs minutely every piece of earth, touches each spark and atom of the air. No sound or word or voice is lost. Somewhere in space, each word reverberates on word. So every piece of flesh is touched by his bulk, disturbed minutely by his body's turning. As the canker through the apple or the yeast, swelling the flower, light moves from flesh to flesh till every rise and fall becomes immortal. Death came out boldly to the combat, with bronze flashing and banging of shield. The noise was all through the streets. People shivered and kept indoors and talked in whispers. I am a man of the coast. My life is a life of books, of ships coming ashore and gatherings for talk at evening. Since boyhood, I have lain upon rocks to watch the small fish move back and forward in the sun. I have seen them jump, splashing, and hurl their bellies at the source and fountain of their bliss. I see him now as the juice of the apple tree, seeping through the trunk and branches till the tips are filled with foliage and fruit. Or the cloud, bursting above the parched valleys, blackening the clay again, spreading rivulets through the land. Or the treetops, reaching invisibly to sky. Or the circle of lamplight on the shrubs, falling tenderly on the woman as she sings.
You've been listening to a program presented and written by Jill Bevilacqua and produced by Sean Patrick Lovett, whose voice you've just heard, together with that of Arthur Baum and Robert Mickens. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.